GE Appliance Park is now hiring full-time positions with up to a $2,500 hiring bonus. Apply today at makeitatthepark.com or text GEA Park to 844-MY-APPLY. That's GEA Park to 844-692-7759. Make a difference. Make it at the park.
Tired of eating the same homemade meals over and over again? Want to switch it up? LocallyOwnedDelivery.com safely brings the restaurants to you. Breakfast, lunch, or dinner, they'll bring it to you. Delivery.com delivers some of the finest restaurants in Metro Louisville. Miss going out to eat but still want to support your favorite restaurants? Delivery.com has got you covered. Use promo code ORDERNOW for $10 off your next order. Sit back, relax. Your meal's on its way. Delivery.com. We bring the restaurants to you.
Body Armor Edge is sports hydration with a boost of caffeine. With 100 milligrams of caffeine and 1,000 milligrams of electrolytes, Body Armor Edge is boosted hydration for today's athlete. Get your Body Armor Edge today at your local Kroger.
Time now for Stockton Mortgage Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, here's Dan and Mike.
And welcome in, everybody. Happy Tuesday morning. This is Sports Talk with Mike Pratt and Dan Issel on ESPN Louisville, brought to you by Stockton Mortgage. And sitting in for Michael today, Louis Ribeau. Louis, how are you this morning?
Hey, Dan, I'm doing great. How are things much, much higher in the air than they are here in Louisville?
Well, you know, the big story, there's two big stories in Denver.
Okay.
And neither one of them, first of all, I hope you didn't waste too much of your Monday evening watching that debacle from the Boston Garden last night.
We'll talk about that, but it timed out perfectly with a wild second period, actually, in the NHL playoffs. So I flipped over to that.
Oh, well, that's great. Yeah. You're referring to the Avalanche, right?
I am, yeah, the Avalanche Blues game last night, yeah.
Yeah, and so are you a big, being a Detroit guy, you have to be a big hockey fan, don't you?
I did. I grew up playing hockey, and I was All-State in ice hockey in Michigan, and played in Ontario at the junior level, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, there you go.
I also played hockey. I was second team all city.
Wow.
And our town only had one high school.
Well, Chicago's got a bunch of really good youth hockey, so
yeah. I did skate every winter. We lived a block, the high school was about six blocks away from where I grew up.
Okay.
But the athletic field where the football and baseball and track and all of that was only about a half a block away from my house. And every winter, the fire department would come out and flood
yes.
a big portion of that. And, of course, it would freeze. And I did skate. I never played hockey, but I did skate as a young
yeah.
man.
Where I grew up in Michigan, it would I lived on a cul-de-sac, and the plows would never make it up to our street, and eventually it would just ice over, and we would just skate in our street. So there you go.
Yeah, that's good. Well, what I was getting ready to say is the two big stories in Denver have nothing to do with the Heat and the Celtics. The first one is the Avalanche,
yes.
and I guess. Florida, I think, had the best record in the NHL this year, and they were swept out of the playoffs yesterday by the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Correct, yep.
And so I guess right now the Avalanche would be the favorite to win the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, them are the Oilers, I imagine, with Connor McDavid. But, yeah, I mean, they've got to be right up there for sure, especially with how Kadri is playing super well right recently. Reminds me of a lot of the guys I grew up with in the Michigan U team, so the under 19, under 17 teams. Michigan has a ton of immigrants from Lebanon, and Kadri is one of these guys, but he actually grew up on the Canadian side. I think his grandparents came over to Canada from Lebanon. But so those kinds of last names I got really used to playing hockey with growing up in Michigan.
And he, for those that, and for some reason, Kentucky, well, not for some reason, there's no professional team in Kentucky or close, but Kentucky doesn't seem to be a big hockey
You know what's interesting is, whenever I go out and I ask people to turn hockey on at bars, there's never any pushback, and I always catch other people watching it. You know what I mean? And so I think people would be interested in if it were available and around. But I'm with you. It's not part of the zeitgeist of the sporting, you know, mentality or thoughts around here.
But Louis, I've said this before. Of all the four major sports, the one that I would get in a car and go and fight the traffic to watch in person is hockey.
Yeah,
because it's such a poor sport to be covered by television. First of all, the puck is hard to follow, and they are always on the puck, and there's so much action behind the puck that hockey, to me, hockey's the best sport to actually be there and watch it in person.
I think baseball's the worst one on TV because it moves so slowly. But
you have to love baseball. You know, I've said this before. It's 45 minutes of action crammed into 3.5 hours.
Yeah, right. But ice hockey in person, you're right, is exceptional to be at.
So I did the same thing.
That's great.
I tuned off. Here's my evening. I started out with the Cubs and the Reds,
okay.
Because it came on earlier, and about the time the basketball game started, and I expected this. I don't know what's going on with basketball. How many games have we seen in the playoffs where it's such a crucial game? I mean, a game that could eventually declare the outcome of the NBA championship, and it be absolutely no competition whatsoever. I mean, there's been five or six of them. And so the Cubs were ahead 4-0. I felt very comfortable at that point and turned it over to watch the basketball game. And that thing was over in 5 minutes.
Yeah,
I turned it back, and the Cubs were only up 4-3. So I watched some baseball until Ian Happ hit a 3-run homer and put that game out of reach. And then I went back to the basketball, and then it got awful. I too turned it over to the Blues and the Avs, and I saw three goals in a minute and a half.
Yes, correct. That was wild. You know, what's interesting is, you know, you and I would talk, you know, through the stats of these basketball games and different things. But if I had told you going into the game last night that Tatum was going to be 1 of 7 from three with three turnovers, and Grant Williams was going to come off the bench and shoot 1 of 8 from the field, we would have just assumed the Heat got up there and got the job done, right?
And in addition, that Marcus Smart wouldn't play.
Right.
Yeah, you know, that's got a Heat win written all over it.
Yep.
But Louis, I know Boston has a good defense, and I know that the Heat had already won a game in Boston to take back the home court advantage. But you come out and start the game 0-for-14 from the field.
Yep.
Wind up 3-of-20 with 11 points at the end of the first quarter. You're just not ready to play.
Yeah,
you're coaching. You have done, forget the coaching staff, you have done a terrible job of motivating yourself for a very, very important basketball game.
Yeah, it was interesting too, because Bam reverted to his earlier form in the series, which is not good. Butler played like he had never been in a playoff game before. PJ Tucker, who we like on this show, terrible yesterday. I mean, just bad. It just wasn't good. It was just bad. But to be fair, everybody on that team was bad. So, yeah, I'm with you. There was something very much missing in the formula for the Heat yesterday that we simply haven't seen the rest of the playoffs.
Yeah, I thought the one player for the Heat – that came to play was Oh, the kid that played with the Pacers and has been hurt for 2 years.
Oladipo, yeah.
Oladipo.
Yep,
Oladipo.
I agree.
Oladipo played. The rest of them, you know, and we sometimes we get, and I agree with Butler. I don't think Butler's 100%.
I totally agree with that.
He didn't look like he had any boost in his jumper.
I don't know why he played a minute after the first quarter. I'll be very honest. Like if he's not feeling well, get him the hell off the court.
Absolutely. Yeah. But their starters scored 18 points.
I know. They had two starters with no points, and none of them hit double digits. Yeah,
no,
it's unbelievable.
No. I can't believe that a team in games that are this important come out and give that little effort. It's unbelievable.
I think we should make a declaration today that if the Warriors sweep, that we're going to become a hockey show. We're just going to move on. We're just going to become an Oilers and Flames. We're going to follow the Avalanche. We just be done with this because I don't, you know, I guess it's an interesting series now because it's 2-2. But do you have confidence that it's going to be a well-played series the rest of the way?
No, that's a great point. The Celtics are up 18 at the end of the first quarter.
Right.
They're up 24 at halftime.
Yep.
And they're playing average at best.
Yes, correct. Yeah.
They wind up, they win by 20 and don't even shoot 40% from the field. So let's not say this was a domination, although they had a couple of guys play really well. Al Horford, how old is he? I mean, he's got to be approaching 40.
He's been in the league pretty
forever.
Close to my age, actually. You're right. Yeah, he is. Well, he's 35 years old. There you go. Yep.
And he's out there playing like he's a kid. But the Celtics didn't play a great game. The Heat were just terrible.
Yeah, I just, it's so sad because that first game was so good, right? And
yep.
And back and forth, and both teams played well, I mean, legitimately well. And so it's just not, it's too bad because this should have been a very fun 6-7 game type series where we got a lot of, you know, these younger stars, things that we talked about it. And this is where I'm starting to edge toward we're going to get a classic Warriors performance. Both in the Western Conference Finals and then in the finals, the NBA Finals, and then the conversation goes to what we talked about yesterday. How open is that window with a 34-year-old Curry, with a 34-year-old Draymond Green and a 32-year-old Klay Thompson? And so it was disappointing, but thank God for the hockey because it saved the viewing evening.
And you think the Warriors will end it tonight? I think it'll be the artist bump, Artis Gilmore. I think it'll be an Artis Gilmore sweep. I think they'll wait and go back and clinch it, but it would be to their advantage to end this series tonight,
yep,
because the other one has got to go 6 games now, and you figure it's a 7-game series for sure, and they're just beating up each other. So I agree with you. As much as I think the Avs are the favorite to win the Stanley Cup now, I think the Golden State Warriors are sitting in pretty good position.
Probably the most likely champion of any sport going right now, for sure. I agree.
Yeah. And so the other, let's talk about hockey a little bit.
Sure.
How do you say it? Kadri?
Nazem Kadri.
Kadri.
Yep.
Kadri, for those that haven't been following this, he had what the St. Louis Blues thought was a very dirty hit on their goaltender in the prior game. And he was getting death threats.
Yep.
I mean, the Denver police and the FBI were in on this deal. He was getting death threats from the St. Louis Blues fans. And I love how an athlete responds to something like that. The kid goes out and gets a hat trick last night.
Yeah, he's quoted postgame saying, "I know those messages I get don't reflect every single fan in St. Louis, but for those that hate, this one's for them." That's pretty great.
Well, of course, the Avalanche are owned by the Kroenke family, who also owns the L.A. Rams. So that would be a pretty sweet year for them,
yeah,
to win the Super Bowl and the Stanley Cup in the same year.
Well, and I'm sure the St. Louis fans are rooting doubly hard against them, right, because of the Rams leaving leaving St. Louis for Los Angeles. So there's a bit of that going on too.
I hadn't even thought about that, but you're absolutely right. It was Kroenke was Stan was a minority owner of the St. Louis Rams with an option to buy as soon as the majority owner passed away. He had the option to buy the whole team. And as soon as he got that, the majority ownership of the Rams, he couldn't get them back to California quick enough.
No, that's right. So, by the way, kind of a follow-up on this story. I mean, some of the stuff with Kadri was racially based as well, because his family is of Middle Eastern descent. He right. did say he didn't hear anything racist during the game yesterday. So, at least, the fans that were there didn't do any of that kind of crap, and it was probably just a smattering of fans outside of that core group. So hopefully, let's be better people. I mean, we're trying to have a civilization here. So
absolutely, and it goes back to what we talked. We had a little conversation about this yesterday about social media. That's what I don't like. People who can anonymously, put that garbage out there, and there's no repercussion. I don't get that at all.
Yeah.
Before we get to the bottom of the hour, and at 11 o'clock, we have Carl Schmidt coming on. Carl, of course, is the CEO and president of the Louisville Sports Authority, who puts on the Hall of Fame, the Kentucky Sports
Just
Hall
announced
of Fame
his upcoming retirement. How about that?
No way.
We'll have to ask him that.
I didn't see that.
Coming up next spring, I think, actually. So we got a little bit longer with him, but he said he's getting into golf too much. We'll have to ask him about that.
Well, yeah, but and Louis, they do a lot of things. They bring a lot of
of
events to Louisville and fill up hotels and restaurants. And the Sports Commission under Carl's guidance has just done a terrific job.
We have a couple of groups like that. I think another one that immediately comes to my mind is the Kentucky Derby Festival board that does so many events leading up to the Derby that essentially 6 weeks before the Derby, where outside of Thunder, of course, but with the concerts and the different things that go on. We're really blessed in this town to have a couple of really great nonprofits that are doing those kinds of things.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. The other big story here that I want you to comment on in Denver is Tim Connelly, who was the general manager of the Denver Nuggets, and of course, gets all the credit in the world for hiring Michael Malone, who I think has done a terrific job coaching the Nuggets. But he also was responsible for drafting the two-time reigning MVP in the NBA, Nikola Jokic,
yep,
in the second round,
right,
left the Nuggets yesterday,
yep,
to become the I guess he's president of basketball operations for the Minnesota Timberwolves. Listen to this contract: a 5-year, $40 million contract plus an opportunity to earn equity in the team.
Right.
$8 million a year for a general manager, Louis.
I am available, by the way, if anyone wants to hire me for 5 years. $4 million, like, very available. If anyone wants to put me in that kind of position, I can sneak by on $800,000 a year. It's remarkable, but frankly, sports, especially professional sports in the United States, more than anything, whenever they think they see a trend, they pounce on the trend. And they think that this is the trend with Tim Connelly, that he's going to just be able to find these guys all the time. To be fair, I mean, it's not like he hasn't put in his time. He was with the Wizards and the Hornets before the Nuggets. But, I'm with you. I mean, his biggest, outside of Jokic, his biggest pickups were what? Aaron Gordon and JaVale McGee. I mean, I'm not sure.
Well, he of course he gets credit here. He also drafted Murray and Michael Porter Jr. Although I hope this Michael Porter Jr. thing doesn't come back to bite him. He's the kid out of Missouri who yep. only played a handful of games there because of a bad back, and they gave him a max deal for his spot. And I don't know. I was talking to a friend of mine in Denver the other day, and he said, "Do you know anybody who used to have a bad back?" And the inference being, once you have a bad back,
correct.
You probably are always going to have a bad
That's
back.
So absolutely correct.
I hope that one doesn't come back, but that is phenomenal. Of course, A-Rod, Alex Rodriguez, and his partner Mark Lurie are in position to have majority ownership of that club, I think, in a couple of years. And they seem to be the ones who bankrolled this idea of getting Tim Connelly to come there. But when general managers start making $8 million yeah. a year, you know there are general managers all over professional sports right now thanking Tim Connelly for that deal.
For sure. Well, what's interesting, too, about Minneapolis is I think people around the country have no idea. There's almost 4 million people in the metro there. And the sports in Minnesota, the entire state is fans of those sports, right? And so, like, yep. everyone in Minnesota is a Vikings fan. Everyone's a Twins fan, et cetera. And so that's a metro that, frankly, with the money, like, Target is based there as a company. You know, there's a serious amount of legitimate money in Minneapolis, and they've just never really been able to parlay that into long-term professional success. You know, you've got the University of Minnesota there in the Twin Cities, R1 University, one of the best colleges in the country. It just seems like the kind of freaking town that should have a lot more success on that level. Maybe it's just guys don't want to be there when it's negative 40 with a windshield whipping around downtown, but it is ready financially and just structurally to have great teams. And so if someone can put in the investment and figure it out, and maybe Tim Connelly works out, I don't know why the Timberwolves should be bad every year. Frankly, they shouldn't be.
No, you're absolutely right. And to back up your point, it's the only city I've ever been to that has a maze of walkways,
tunnels,
connecting all the buildings downtown, so you don't have to go outside during the winter. And it's almost as bad in the summertime, heat and humidity and mosquitoes with the
as cold as it gets is as hot as it gets. That's exactly
with,
right. Yes.
With the 10,000 lakes breeds a lot of mosquitoes. But you know, this isn't the first high profile general manager that the Nuggets have lost to another team. Masai Ujiri was very, very successful with the Nuggets, and he moved on to Toronto to put together a championship team there. And so I don't think this is going to negatively affect the Nuggets that much going forward, but you never know. You know who's going to take Connelly's place?
It's you,
Calvin,
right?
Calvin Booth, who was a longtime NBA player and has been in that backup role to Connelly.
So he's already in the office there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I understand that he'll be taking over the reins.
Are you taking Calvin Booth's job? Are you announcing that on this show?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Okay.
First of all, my parting with the Kroenke family was not what you would call amicable. So I doubt very seriously that I am on their list.
Call Dan.
You know, that's another story. That's another story. Hey, when we come back, one thing that I forgot to ask you about yesterday. Of course, we talked about the PGA Championship
yes.
and the collapse of Pereira
and yep.
Justin Thomas winning the PGA tournament. I did not get your read on what happened to Tiger Woods. And so coming back after the break, I want to talk about that a little bit. A reminder that this is Sports Talk with Mike Pratt and Dan Issel and Louis Rabeau. And we are brought to you by Stockton Mortgage. Life can come at you fast. Unanticipated debts, student loans, that credit card you're chipping away at. With home values on the rise in most areas, now may be the time to do a cash out refinance on your mortgage. You may have more equity in your home than you think. And with low interest rates here for now, underline for now, don't miss out on the opportunity to utilize your home's equity to knock out some of those high interest debts that weigh you down. Get started with our favorite home loan folks at Stockton Mortgage. Just go to Stockton.com. That's Stockton.com. NMLS 8259. NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Equal housing lender.
This segment of Stockton Mortgage's Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt is presented by KentuckyTourism.com.
And welcome back. This is Sports Talk with Mike Pratt and Dan Issel and Louis Rabeau on ESPN Louisville. And this segment of the show is brought to you by Kentucky Tourism. When you're ready to explore the outdoors, there's no better place than the Bluegrass State. Hike forest trails, paddle through clear waters, enjoy a horseback ride, or simply soak up the sights and sounds of nature. Looking for more thrills? Hop on a mountain bike, race through rapids, venture deep underground, or zip through the treetops. This is Kentucky. Come see for yourself. Plan your getaway today at KentuckyTourism.com. And so, Louis, one thing we didn't talk about was Tiger's departure from the PGA tournament after shooting a 79 on Saturday.
Yeah.
and looking very uncomfortable doing it. What were your thoughts?
All right, I should probably preface this with I am not a Tiger Woods fan. I'm not anti-Tiger Woods, but I don't turn golf on because Tiger's on, like I think many people do. But I think that if you cannot play all four rounds of a golf tournament, you probably shouldn't have entered in the first place. And so it bothers me that he took someone's spot. It bothers me that he got to Saturday and shot poorly and then decided to withdraw. And so I those sorts of things I have very little patience for. This actually bothered me quite a bit as far as, literally taking someone else's spot and you know, whatever that might be. I also want to say I never thought the guy would play golf again after his accident. And so it's remarkable to see him out there. And I mean, a 79 in a major when you've been in that kind of car accident is remarkable in itself. But, it bothers me a little bit. And I don't quite know where he goes from here if he can't get through four rounds of a major.
Yeah, and by the way, you are certainly in the minority because on Thursday and Friday on ESPN Plus,
right,
on my computer, his foursome, which of course included Rory McIlroy,
yep,
and Jordan Spieth, that was the threesome that they followed around the course. So,
absolutely. I understand that about me. It's not I'm very self-aware on that. I just he does not move the needle for me. But we've talked about this. Golf also on television doesn't move the needle for me.
Yeah. Well, I agree with everything you just said. The fact that he wasn't. I mean, for crying out loud, he can't even kneel down to read,
right,
a putt. He has to lean on his putter and bend over from the waist to read a putt. So obviously he's not physically able to do it. But I even take it further than that. And I always use Willie Mays as the example, Louis. Willie Mays was one of the all-time great baseball players, not just of my generation, of all generations. I mean, probably was that in the World Series that he made that catch running,
yes,
sprinting with his back,
yes,
to the infield, and he makes a basket catch over his shoulder.
Right.
Probably the most incredible catch in the history of Major League Baseball. But you know, I remember all of that. But you know what I also remember about Willie Mays? And that is at the end of his career, when he went to play for the New York Mets and couldn't catch a ball in the outfield.
Right.
And he's circling. He's running in a circle under the ball, and the ball drops. And unfortunately for me, that's part of Willie Mays' legacy. And I was always, as far as my career was concerned, I wanted to retire with maybe a little juice in the lemon and not having squeezed it completely dry.
Right.
And I hate to see athletes, especially of that ilk, of Willie Mays, one of the best baseball players of all time, Tiger Wood, arguably the best golfer, although I think I'd still vote for Jack Nicklaus.
Okay.
The best golfer of all time. But that's now part of his legacy. Shooting a 69 in the PGA, excuse me, 79
yeah,
in the PGA tournament, and dropping out of the final round. To me, that tarnishes the greatness. And why is he doing it? Surely he and his kids and his grandkids and his great-great-grandkids are going to have all the money they ever need. So it can't be about the money. Why does he continue to do
it? I'd like to think that he really does believe he's going to win, right? That he really thinks that he can get it done. Otherwise, you know, and someone texted in, by the way, if people want to join the show, 437-9680 on the UPS jobs text line. Texter saying, not sure that making the cut is really taking someone's spot. Okay, that's fair, and I'm willing to talk about the, you know, the gray area of this. But to me, if you cannot finish a four round tournament, you're taking someone's spot. And so I understand, no, he made the cut. He was playing well Thursday and Friday. Okay, I'll grant you that. But I think that if you can't go four rounds, you probably shouldn't be playing, especially in a major. This is really someone's opportunity. You know, Beto Pereira is a rookie, and he's making this run. What if he had taken Beto Pereira's spot, right?
Yeah.
You know, and that would be, I think that would be unfair, and frankly, not what we're trying to do with sport. And so, I'm with you, Dan. I'll tell you who also disagrees with me is, his name is Jim Richardson. Do you know what Jim Richardson does for a living?
I do not.
He is the president of PGA of America. And he said, we admire Tiger's valiant effort to compete here at Southern Hills and wish him the best as he continues to recover from his injuries. So obviously, probably when you're president of the PGA, you have to say that. But if he means it, then you know what? Maybe I'm wrong on this one, but it does, to me, because of the unique individual nature, it would be in the same way if a tennis player couldn't play a five set match in tennis and then sign up for the French Open or something.
Yeah.
Like, that's not okay. Like, get out of the way. Let someone else get that spot. And so that's just me.
I hope he didn't drop out just because he wasn't physically able to do it, because he should have known that, as you say, before the tournament ever started. What I hope is that he was embarrassed that he could only shoot a 79 and didn't want to go out there the next day and shoot an 83, and that he will take a serious look at pulling the plug on his career.
Yeah, maybe. Man, I think I feel the opposite almost, because I think quitting because you're not playing well is not a good reason to quit. We talked about the game last night, and it felt like there was a bit of quitting that went on with the Miami starters, at least, right? And so I would hate to think that Woods is dropping out of tournaments because of that. But I'm with you. I think this is a physical issue, not a competition issue. And it's frankly, given his incredible greatness for so long, it's hard to watch athletes do this. And we always make the bad cliche in sports that time is undefeated, right?
But it is. But time, that's why it's a cliche.
That's why it's a cliche. That's right. Time is undefeated. But also, I mean, he compounded it with a very serious car accident, right? And so, you know, it's, I don't know. I think that, you know, if he's going to play again, I would like to see him play in more than just the majors. I don't like that they kowtow to him this much, right? Like, show us that you can do this at the Greenbrier or at, you know, the Houston Open or something, rather than just showing up to the majors and taking someone's spot in the most important, you know, when you have a sport set up like this. I mentioned the French Open. So, like, in tennis, you got the four majors. In golf, you have the four majors. This would, like, be like, you know, oh, I can only drive 300 of the 500 laps at the Daytona, you know, 300 of the 500 miles, whatever, and I'm going to drop out of the race because I'm in 20th place. and he took some driver's spot. That's not okay. It just isn't.
Yeah. No, I agree. I agree. Well, I am going to go in a completely opposite direction.
Hey, by the way, before you do that, I do want to thank Tommy and the Delivery.com team for bringing lunch by the ESPN Louisville studios today. Cracker Barrel, Dan, are you a Cracker Barrel guy?
Oh, no. I'm missing Crackle Barrel. what's it called? Grandpa's breakfast.
Oh.
Grandpa's something.
Okay.
Grandpa's in the name of it.
Okay.
But it's eggs and biscuits and gravy and my absolute favorite, country ham.
All right. So Crean has a message for you.
Yes, I've invaded the show, Dan. I'm sorry, but Phil Baker is killing me today because just like you, I love Cracker Barrel and I would die for the biscuits. So now that I'm off Vitality, I'm going to try as hard as I can to only eat one of the biscuits.
Look, hey, Jack, look up. I've got a couple of things for you. By the way, the sports update at the bottom of the hour was terrific.
He's doing a good job.
Yeah, except you have to get a little more excited when you give the Cubs red score.
That's great.
So
I was excited watching it last night.
Yeah, it was better than the basketball game, that's for sure. And the other question I have is how come we haven't heard that Trace Jackson is returning to Indiana on the Sports Center update?
Well, that's because the news broke Friday at around noonish.
Right.
So I had it in my Sports Center update the rest of the day, Friday in the afternoons, but by the time Monday rolls around that it's been a couple days already.
It's old news. Well, that's good and bad news, Crean. The good news is he'll be back at IU playing basketball next year. The bad news is he wasn't good enough to get drafted in the NBA.
Well, you know, Dan, he had COVID, so he missed everything. He missed all the combine stuff, so he really missed an opportunity to help his draft stock.
Oh, okay. All right. Well,
it is really exciting for IU though to get it back. They might actually have a halfway decent team next year now. they should be that there's actually expectations there. It's fun.
I read someplace with his return, Indiana might be the favorite to win the Big Ten next year.
They might. They very well might because, you know, they have a lot of different teams that lost a lot of dudes. I mean, Purdue won't be nearly as good as they were last year. Ohio State will take a step back. The league's going to be a little bit down, so it's pretty wide open. And Indiana brings back basically everyone. They bring in a top five recruiting class. They should be pretty good. There's no reason for them to not compete in the Big Ten.
Okay, that's enough about Indiana.
I agree with Dan Issel. But locally owned Delivery.com brings the restaurant to you perfect for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, and even those graduation parties going on this time of year. Use promo code ORDERNOW for $10 off your next order. They're also hiring drivers. Get paid per delivery and keep your own tips. Also, if you are a restaurant looking to grow your business with food delivery, it's Delivery.com, your neighborhood delivered. Delivery.com. And thanks to Cracker Barrel. There you go.
Okay. Here's your hard left turn.
Here we go.
Yeah. Have you ever watched or are you a fan of the Kardashians?
No. but I am very aware that they exist and the whole Caitlyn Jenner outcome of all those things, but keep going. Yes.
What makes this something we could talk about now is Devin Booker.
Yes, right.
Is dating Kendall Jenner, and they just had a family wedding. Kourtney Kardashian married somebody in Italy. And it doesn't matter who because it'll only last 6 months anyway. So, but anyway, they had this wedding in Italy, and Devin Booker was over there with his girlfriend to attend the Kardashian wedding.
Oh, okay.
So, wow. That's all you got? Okay.
Okay. I will say Kendall's my favorite of the Jenners.
She's certainly the most attractive.
I don't think there's a question. I think it's not close.
Is
she a billionaire?
Devin did well there.
Avery, is she the one that did the fragrance thing and did the? I think she's a fragrance billionaire, is she not?
She might be. I know she's the one that continues to model every week.
I'm going to look this up because I think I'm right. Is Kendall Jenner a billionaire? Google says, no, she is not. Okay.
Oh, it would be Kylie most likely.
Is it Kylie? Okay. All right. Okay.
Because she has her cosmetic line.
That's what I'm thinking about. Okay.
I know Kim has her own cosmetic line, but Kim's a Kardashian.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Kylie Cosmetics is worth more than $900 million. And so, yeah, it's Kylie Jenner that's the billionaire. There you go. See, you name all your kids with the same letters, and I can't keep up with what's going on.
Oh, yeah, they wanted to keep with the K's.
I get it.
Well, what, you know, you said, what did you say? You do something at the Catholic Church, at your Catholic Church that you had a meeting.
I chair the parish council down there.
The parish council. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, you don't know this about me, but... for 3 years, Sherry and I lived in Los Angeles.
Yes, okay.
And I was the executive director of Bel Air Christian Church.
Oh, okay.
And we were the church to the stars. It was Ronald and Nancy Reagan's home church. A dear friend of mine who was the minister of a church we attended here in Denver went out to be the head pastor there and asked me to come out and be the executive director. So he asked me two or three times, and finally the last time we went. So Clayton Kershaw attended, Britney Spears attended. I mean, we had those kinds of people in the congregation.
There you go.
And we became friends with Tom and Joan Kardashian.
Oh.
And Tom, for those of you that don't remember, Robert Kardashian,
yes,
who was the father of all of these Kardashians, was O.J. Simpson's best friend. And he was one of the attorneys,
yes,
for O.J. during the trial. And, you know, not the lead one was Johnny Cochran, but Robert Kardashian was there and every day. And for those that weren't around, the O.J. Simpson trial mesmerized the entire nation.
Oh, for sure.
People couldn't get enough of it, primarily because everybody knew he was guilty as sin. And somehow they found the 12 people in Los Angeles that thought he was innocent to serve on the jury. But
I think they went to them and they said, hey, which one takes longer, guilty or innocent? And they said, well, guilty takes longer. They said, okay, he's innocent. Let's go home.
Well, it's funny you say that, because one of the jurors, the morning that they were going to give the case to the jury, one of the jury, they had been sequestered,
yes,
for weeks, maybe months. They had been in a hotel, not able to watch TV or anything.
Ugh.
And the morning that they gave the case to the jury, one of the jurors came with her suitcase packed. So she, so they were convinced.
Yeah, they were ready to go.
It wasn't going to take long. So anyway, Tom Kardashian, who went to Bel Air, and his wife Joan became good friends of ours. And Tom was such the opposite of what the Kardashians have become.
Okay.
A conservative guy, almost embarrassed that this family had, you know, because there were, first of all, the Kardashians set out to be celebrities when there was absolutely no reason for them to be celebrities.
Right.
And I don't know how they pulled it off, but whoever was guiding it, and a lot of people think it was Kris Jenner, who was the matriarch of the family, who was running all this. If you remember, there was the first time Kim Kardashian got married, she married an NBA player by the name of Kris Humphries.
Yes.
Do you remember this,
yes,
Louie?
Yep, yep.
And the wedding, Tom and Joan went to the wedding. It was someplace like Santa Barbara or someplace,
sure,
like that. And they...
Somewhere beautiful and full of rich people.
Yeah, and the wedding cost millions of dollars.
Of course, yes, right, yeah.
But E Entertainment filmed the whole thing, the preparation for the wedding and the wedding itself, and ran it. And 72 days later,
all done,
They got a divorce.
Time to move on.
And you know, a lot of people have said that was just all a setup to get this, to get the family out there, to get it on E! Network. And but that was
if you're the wedding planner, don't you just go to her and say, "We'd love to work with you again."
It's just one right after the other. Oh, it's amazing. Great. But here's the best part of the story.
Okay.
Joan Kardashian, Tom's wife, her first husband was Elvis Presley's best friend. They met when Elvis Presley was in the Army, and his job basically, he wasn't the manager, because a guy by the name of Colonel Parker was was Elvis's manager.
That's right.
His job was basically to be Elvis Presley's best friend. That's what he got paid to do. And Joan has these and they lived at Graceland. They didn't live in the same house. There was a carriage house or something that they lived in, but they lived in Graceland. And she has, and Priscilla Presley became Joan's best friend. They're still friends to this day. Huh. But she tells a hysterical story. Elvis and now I can't remember what Joan's first husband's name was, but they had rented a house down in Florida. Now, you know, they're both married. Their wives are at Graceland, and they have rented a house in Florida. And Joan tells this hysterical story. She and Priscilla get in a car and drive from Graceland down to Florida, and they go up to the window, and they're peeking in the window, and they see Elvis and Joan's husband in there with a party going on. That's a nice, let's leave it at that, a party going on. And they you know, they caught him dead to rights. They got back in the car, drove back to Graceland's in Memphis, right?
Yes, yep.
And drove back to Memphis. And they both filed for divorce as soon as they got back. As soon as they got back to Memphis, but that was my tie to the Kardashians. But,
and it goes back to Elvis. Are you implying that this was a pineapple party there, Dan?
I don't know what that means.
All right, I just had to say it. All right, we'll be all right.
Can you explain to me what a pineapple?
A pineapple would be that even if you are a married person, you are open to relationships with people that are not your spouse.
Oh, I didn't. Where have I been? I did not know that.
I have no idea where you've been, Dan Essel. Let's go.
Yes, that's what
you're getting at. There you go. A little pineapple party. Yeah.
That's what I'm implying. Well, when we come back, we'll be joined by Carl Schmidt, president and CEO of Louisville Sports. And we'll get to talk to him about this year's induction class. A reminder that this segment of the show has been brought to you by Kentucky Tourism. Looking for thrills this weekend? Hop on a mountain bike, race through whitewater rapids, or zip through the treetops. This is Kentucky. Come see for yourself. Plan your getaway today at KentuckyTourism.com.
GE Appliance Park is now hiring full-time positions with up to a $2,500 hiring bonus. Apply today at makeitatthepark.com or text GEA Park to 844-MY-APPLY. That's GEA Park to 844-692-7759. Make a difference. Make it at the park.
Tired of eating the same homemade meals over and over again? Want to switch it up? LocallyOwnedDelivery.com safely brings the restaurants to you. Breakfast, lunch, or dinner, they'll bring it to you. Delivery.com delivers some of the finest restaurants in Metro Louisville. Miss going out to eat but still want to support your favorite restaurants? Delivery.com has got you covered. Use promo code ORDERNOW for $10 off your next order. Sit back, relax. Your meal's on its way. Delivery.com. We bring the restaurants to you.
Body Armor Edge is sports hydration with a boost of caffeine. With 100 milligrams of caffeine and 1,000 milligrams of electrolytes, Body Armor Edge is boosted hydration for today's athlete. Get your Body Armor Edge today at your local Kroger.